Before we get started with this week's edition of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast, let me let you know that it's brought to you by Draft.com. Fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why you need to try Draft. No more getting crushed by the pros. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft. Play in a real-life NBA, NFL, or for this podcast purpose, PGA Draft right now. Be done drafting in under 5 minutes and get paid out the day the tournament is done. The PGA version is great. You draft, you enjoy the 4 days, and you collect your money Sunday night. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join them whenever you want. All new players, this is the catch, all new players, when they make their first deposit, get entry into a real money draft by using the promo code SDSports. You got to use the promo code SDSports to get that free entry. That's right, playing a real money draft for free by using the promo code SDSports. But it gets even better. For some crazy reason you do not like Draft, they are offering a $100 money back guarantee. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now, but you have to use the promo code SDSports. Void or prohibited, must be 18 or older. See website for details. Offer must be redeemed within 14 days. Now, welcome to this week's edition of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast.
And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing your 2018 Career Builders Challenge. Should be an interesting tournament. Check out the podcast on Twitter at alwayspressdfs. Find me on Twitter at bdintrick and join by one of my usuals. You can find him on Twitter at bbsnow11. Bucks, how are we doing?
Doing great, Bubba. Glad to be back for another fun event.
Yep, should be a fun one. Jesse is golfing in Florida, so don't feel sorry for him. But fill in for Jesse this week. You've heard him before on the Always Pressing PGA pod. You can find him on Twitter at All Day Every 365. Rob, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me again, Bucks and Bubba. Yeah, don't feel bad for Jesse, especially when I'm sitting around in 10-degree weather. So.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. It'll be good. We'll have Rob on more often this season, as we always can use another voice of reasoning on the DFS podcast. So we will do that before we get into the Career Builders Challenge. Let's recap last weekend's Sony Open. Bucks, what did you think of the Kazir in that playoff?
I thought it was awesome, man. I mean, anytime – I wish there was better coverage, but we'll get to that in a minute. But, I mean, anytime you can have playoff holes, especially in Hawaii, it's great golf. And both of them, I mean, Patton shot, what, 68, 65 or something like that on the weekend, and Han shot 65, 62. So, I mean, both were playing ridiculous golf, so... It was awesome. It was really fun to watch. I mean, honestly, that was kind of what we expected, though, going into the weekend.
Yeah, we expected some crazy scoring for sure. Rob, what were your thoughts on the weekend?
Yeah, I thought it was cool that Kazir, you know, picks up a second win in kind of the swing season, if you want to call it that. And, you know, Harmon kind of just didn't do anything after he got out to a hot start, which I'm sure made a lot of one-and-done folks kind of happy to see that, but... Really just didn't do anything on the weekend, and, you know, a lot of guys caught up to him, and like you said, crazy low scoring, took a little bit to get going, but as usual, the Sony doesn't disappoint in terms of guys going low.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. It was almost like two different tournaments. The Thursday-Friday crew had one group running away with it, and on the weekend, you mentioned Han and Kazir, these guys tore it up on the weekend, and those guys that were outside of Harmony kind of fell off late. You know, Zach Johnson and some of these other guys kind of disappeared come the weekend, so... Very interesting golf, low scoring. I'd expect Finau with the ace. I figured it was fitting after DraftKings changes their rules and no one cares. We get an ace on the first tournament, so that was that was good just to make everybody happy about it. The golf coverage, massive problem. First off, kudos to those guys for getting a free trip to Hawaii and then going on strike. Smart planning on their part. But we'll start with you, Bucks. What do you think? How's this going to get solved? Because we've already complained enough, we as the everybody in the golf viewing world, about not enough coverage. Now this could really hurt things.
Yeah. I mean, you have this – I mean, you have how many months to get this figured out, and they strike the second of the year, the first cut event of the year. They decide to go on strike in Hawaii. just really disappointing, to be honest with you. Long time golfer, golf fan, view it religiously. It's disappointing to see, and again, it's not, I don't necessarily blame kind of everybody at the Golf Channel, but somebody's got to own up to it. I mean, there needs to be coverage. Every golf event, one, coverage, even if there was no strike, coverage was god awful.
Yeah.
There's like 4.5 hours of live golf going on, and you don't get any of it. And so I think, one, there should be longer coverage windows, whether the Golf Channel provides it or somebody else provides it. Mm-hmm. And then, two, they should have done a better job at figuring this all out before the main season started. And I was surprised to hear that, I guess, their unions, like Guild of the U.S. or something, that's who the cameramen for the Golf Channel run through as their union. That was surprising to me, too. So, yeah, to your point, good for them for going to Hawaii and taking
a day. Yeah, that's one way to get the peruvial middle finger to your employer right there.
Yeah.
It is interesting because it hurts the coverage. Like, I was angry, you know, out here on the West Coast, 13 off at 9 a.m., and we don't get any golf coverage until 2 or 3 in the afternoon out here. It's like, what are we doing? What's going on? I know the equipment's there and everything. I thought it was even crazy after Bones was done caddying for JT, they had him out on the course doing the second group of people going out there.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. What were your thoughts on this one, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny seeing the playoff go into full-on Madden blimp mode. And, you know, it wasn't even just the PGA either. It's the fact that, you know, they were trying to do the web.com tour event too, and that coverage lacked as well. So I guess it was even crazier the fact that, you know, it happened before the final round. It didn't even happen before the third round where they were kind of starting to take over more of the coverage too. But, you know, like you're saying, all the coverage windows stink for the Golf Channel in general. You know, usually in the middle of the season when they're starting to go on Saturday and Sunday, you know, they'll have whatever morning drive before and coverage doesn't come on until noon and someone's already got hot and got on the course early and you missed out and you just get these ridiculous highlights. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's tough for us, obviously, for PGA Tour Live to come back this week. Obviously, that's kind of a blessing in disguise, I guess. But who knows if they're actually going to extend windows for that, because that ends as soon as television coverage comes on. But, I mean, a lot of things out of control in terms of it being Hawaii. You know, obviously, it's probably a little easier to get folks there to California where the event's happening this week. But coverage in general just stinks. It'll be really interesting to see how they take it forward the rest of the year and if the strike doesn't get figured out. Yeah. And even if it does.
You think with technology these days that, like, they could give, like, the shot tracer guys or somebody that could have one person per group just walk around with a GoPro or something.
Yeah.
To be able to give some sort of video coverage. I mean, and the fact that they didn't have PGA Tour Live itself was just disappointing as well.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. It definitely needs to get fixed, but it seems like it's been an argument we've had with, or we haven't physically had with the PGA, but we've talked about having with the PGA many times. That'll take us into the Career Builder Challenge this week. And speaking of coverage, it's at 3 golf courses in California. Oh, by the way, I'm going to do Jesse's part this week, the event history. So hopefully it's not too bad. But with the 3 courses, usually the only coverage is at the stadium course, so there's nothing even on the other 2 courses. When they were, you know, I think it was last year, had one shot was 59. It was at a separate course. No television on that at all. So, you get used to having 2/3 of your field essentially not on TV for most of the tournament. That being said, this is the former Bob Hope Classic down there in Southern California. I mentioned the stadium course. PGA West hosts the final round and one of the rounds in between at the Jack Nicklaus Tournament Course and the La Quinta Country Club Course. Those are your 3 ones to go with. Bucks will break those down for you in a second. You're going to have 5. They're expecting 5 FedEx top 10 players and 5 of the world's top 30 here. You have 156 amateurs and 156 pros playing in this tournament. Definitely low scoring as we'd expect in this field. Hudson Swafford is your defending champion. You got Jason Duffner in 16, Bill Haas in 2015, Patty Reed in 14, Brian Gay in 13, Mark Wilson in 12, Johnny Vegas in 11, and Bill Haas again in 2010. You could go on and on and on. This tournament's going on for a long, long time. Changed the Career Builder Challenge in 2016. Foundation, which is not a part of it this year, so who knows what that's all about. But we're not a political show, so we will not go there. But should be a fun tournament. Always low scoring. Got a pretty good field for this event. With most of a lot of big guns in the Abu Dhabi tournament, we still have some good ones here. Phil Mickelson making his debut. Bucks, what do you have for the course previews?
Yeah, this was a fun one to do some research on this week, as it is every year with multiple courses. I think week, because you do have three courses played amongst 4 days, 54 hole cut. You have the PGA West Nicklaus course, which is 7,200 yards, par 72. And much like a lot of Nicklaus courses, the fairways are generous. It requires you to think on your approach shot, and if you do miss a green, you have to use your imagination to get up and down. They have little ridges in the greens and undulations, and little fall-off points as well. But that being said, it rewards – like I said, the fairways are generous, so hitting a fairway is not going to be an issue, but it's the guys that are really hitting their mid to short irons well. Those are the guys that are going to score. And again, this is a scorer's paradise, so if you are hitting the ball really well, you're going to go super low here. Harrison Frazier shot 59 here a couple years ago in Q School. Same thing goes for La Quinta Country Club. I mean, it's 7,000 yards, par 72, so super short. I mean, like a really, really short course. And it's a little tighter, and they have a ton of fairway bunkers, ton of water. But so you got a lot of guys that go less than driver. They still hit the fairway at a decent clip. The greens are pretty and from what I've read in some of the interviews for the past years, it's really pure. This is the course that Adam Hadwin shot 59 at last year. So you have two courses out of the three that have allowed a 59 in tournament competition. So paradise, I mean, see some really low numbers on those two courses. And then you get to the stadium course, which is the main course here. And this is a really off course in general. I mean, not only has it been on, like, the top 100 list in the U.S. and the world for golf courses, but it's also been, like, the top 50 hardest courses in the country. You look at kind of the scoring averages over the last couple years, and the scoring averages are definitely higher. And typical Pete Dye design, it is made to be visually intimidating off the tee. So the fairways are pretty generous in certain spots, but visually it's intimidating. He has a lot of mounds everywhere that you have to aim at. Aggressive play for the guys that are hitting the ball well. But coming into the greens, you have tons of undulation in the greens. You have tons of false fronts, tons of pop bunkers, some really deep bunkers. You'll have some, if you miss a green, you have some really crazy eyes around the greens because of all these mounds that he puts on his golf courses. So it should be a really, really fun event. Again, I think that you'll see some higher scores. I mean, you still have guys that go low at the stadium course because it's the tour and they're freaking good. but you'll see a little bit higher average. That's exactly why, like, on the stadium course, the guys that are playing well and striking the ball well, there's a really huge difference between the guys that have like their B game and the guys that have their A game, because there's a ton of water, a ton of those deep bunkers. So if you're on, crazy here. If you're off, you could eat a lot of big numbers this week. So enjoy the you have a couple of the, I really like Nicklaus as a designer. Pete Dye is awesome. I have a bunch of his courses around my area, so I like watching these events just to see these guys are hitting from and what the course design is like.
Yeah, I agree. I'm playing a Pete Dye this Sunday and or Saturday, and they are very, very visually intimidating, you could say, but they are friendly if you don't play out your rear end. So, yeah, definitely. I know exactly what you're talking about there. And the Nicklaus, one of those greens is ridiculous, but they're pros. Rob, when you're building your lineups, what are the key stats you're looking at this week?
Yeah, I think Bubba hits the nail on the head. I think a lot of the guys that are going to be able to hit a lot of greens as well as put them in positions to kind of score are going to be the ones. So I'm actually using Fantasy Nationals like combo what is it, strokes gains ball striking. I know the strokes gains approach will kind of be interesting to use, but I don't. It's tough because there's no shot tracker on two of the three courses, so it's kind of hard to go off of like course history of how they actually played on those courses. But I'm using ball striking, strokes gained putting on Bermuda because I think all three courses are Bermuda. Birdie or better because we were talking about how low people can go. And then a high majority of the par fours are between 350 to 450, so I'm separating it out because Fantasy National does it in buckets of 50, but putting equal weight on them. So par four scoring from 350 to 400 and 400 to 450. But I don't know what you're looking at, Bucks.
Yeah, I'm looking at a lot of the same stats. Every tournament I use kind of DK points, birdie percentage, bogey avoidance, and then I'll look at recent form. But with this tournament having three separate golf courses, it requires you got the entire game being tested, right? It's not like one course where score from 175 to 200, you're going to be golden. Mm-hmm. You have to use everything here. And so focus, like you said, on birdie percentage, birdie or better percentage. I am going to focus on the guys that have excelled historically in stroke change approach. And then off the tee as well, five birdie percentage. From looking at the past stats, there's been a correlation between par five scoring and guys that finish in the top 25. So I'll be focused on those.
Yeah, that's good ones to go to. Like the accuracy approach thing I like a lot. We actually have a little bit of current form for once we talked about it lately. I haven't had it, so I do look into that, especially with some of the impressive performances last week, pretty percentage in scoring, I'm with you guys. So pretty much all the same things you guys mentioned already. Before we get into the picks, we'll start with you, Rob. Since it's a three-day before the cut instead of a two-day before the cut, it's almost like a no-cut event is what it comes down to, almost.
Yeah.
How you're more of a cash game guy, like you told us before. How are you approaching this week for your lineup builds?
Yeah, this is kind of a tough one. I don't know. I'm probably not going to play as much in terms of cash this week, just because I think over 3 days you're going to see a lot of the chalkier guys or a lot of the better guys make the cut. And you know, the scary part about it is like getting six through six through last week didn't come close to guaranteeing you money. I had a bunch of cash, especially if you didn't have anybody in the top 10. But when you're looking at, you know, getting six through six through this week, even more possibly on with possible MDFs with such a large field getting down to like, so I'll probably pull back a little bit. I might drop a little bit more in GPPs, but yeah, cash wise, I'll probably wait to the 2 day cuts.
Gotcha. What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, I think for me, this is going to get treated kind of like a no cut event. Because I do have 3 days, and so if you got a guy that blows up one round, if he goes low the other two, you're okay. But, I mean, there's still a cut. I mean, you still have a full day of some points and moving up the leaderboard. So I'm going to have a mix here. I am going to play some cash this week, but mainly GPPs as usual. Have mix. Like, my GPP lineups will probably be I typically spread it out. So, like, I'll have, like, 75% of my GPP lineups be, like, true GPP lineups, and then 25% the cash side of things, so safer. Mm-hmm. Probably be weighting it more towards the GPP guys, looking down low. Like, I'm not saying I would take him this week, but like a Varner who can go off at any point in time. He's a risky play, but he's got three full days to do something. So I'm going to look at it a little heavier on those guys.
Definitely. Let's get into the picks here. We've been doing a little more FanDuel of late, but honestly, unless you guys see something, they're not nearly as much of a gap as it has been in recent weeks. So I wasn't overly thrilled with it this week to make it a big impact. But if you see some, speak up. Otherwise, we'll kick it with DraftKings. There's five guys over $10,000. So we got John Rahm leading the pack at 11-8. Reed, Kisner, and Mickelson at $10,000, making his debut to the season. Bucks kick us off in the 10K and above.
Yeah, I really like this range this week, and I typically don't like playing a lot of guys up top, but I love Rahm just because he is familiar with these type of golf courses. The dude can go off at any point in time, makes a ton of birdies, so him and with him being the most expensive golfer, with Harmon right underneath him, I'm hoping he's a little lower owned this week. So I'm going to play some Rahm. And then I like Kisner as well. Hops on the model that I have. He is in my model, which I do last 24 rounds on Bermuda and then put in my stat model. He is top 10 in category, so he is he's going to be one of my core plays, I believe. Another guy that pops off is Patty Reed, so I'll probably sprinkle him in a little bit, but that basically leaves me fading Phil and Harmon. So Harmon, Phil, I'm fine with. So
discriminating against the lefties, I see how it is.
I love lefties, but
hey, Rob, you like it here?
Yeah, so I'm actually on the other side of that. I'm on the Harmon-Phil side. I think Harmon's just playing so well right now. He might have a slow weekend for sure, but you're not going to find Brian Harmon as the second best bet, according to Vegas, in any other tournament the rest of this year. I get it. The price tag, he's over 11K. It's kind of ridiculous, but that's just the way the field goes at this point. You know, Phil just has the course history for me at 10K. If you wanted to take a discount on any of the bigger guys, that's pretty much the only angle I can go with him in that raid. You know, Patty Reed for me is just a guy. I mean, we could talk about it later. There's just not much there for me outside of the fact that, yeah, he won it back in 14. I get it. That's fine. But if you're going to spend up and pay the 11 grand, you need a top 10 from Reed. He's not really the guy that I would see kind of putting that together this week, even if it is his first tournament of the year.
Yeah, I don't mind those takes at all. I'm looking at John Rahm. It's just so hard to fade him, period. The guy is playing ridiculously well. And then I'm on the Harmon train again this week. Top eight or better in his last five events. He finished T3 here last year. So it comes to recent form and scoring. This guy, he's checking every box right now. 11-5, it's a crazy price for him, but I'll be going up top with those two. I'll be fading Phil this week, but I hate him coming right out the gate on his first tournament. But you never know. If anybody can do it, it is Phil. So doesn't have a good history here. But I'll be going Rahm and Harmon up top. Rahm speaks for himself pretty much. Not much more to say about him. For the 9K range, we have five golfers. You got Duff Daddy, who is playing really, really well, played well here in the past 1 or 2 years ago. You got Webb Simpson, ZJ, who let me down on the weekend on Sunday. You got the Kazire, who won last week. And you got Chesson Hadley at $9,000. Rob, why don't you kick us off here?
Yeah, so I would go and look at probably one of the bigger discrepancies. I know we were talking about between DraftKings and FanDuel, and look at Webb here. He's 9,700 on DK, but he's also 11,000 on FanDuel, which puts him, sixth over there. But he's got the third best Vegas odds right now. He's at 18-1, which is kind of crazy when you think about it, considering it is Webb Simpson. But he's been playing so well lately, and he kind of popped in my model. Last 12 rounds on Bermuda, and, you know, I put in an easy score here, too, because I figures it goes so low. He's number one in that ball striking category. He's number one in birdie or better. and he's, you know, he's fourth in putting, which is kind of crazy where, you know, Webb came from in the last year. So, yeah, he's probably the one guy I'm probably going to look at in this range at this point. And like you were saying with ZJ, I think he's probably going to be another kind of popular name just because he's, you know, he kind of showed up during the week last week. Obviously didn't do anything on the weekend, but I don't think people are going to play Duffner. I don't know why, but 9,800 is a far cry from the mid sevens, which they had him at last week with Stusik. So, yeah, I don't really see it with Kizire going back to back, going from Hawaii to the mainland. He's got the talent. Obviously, he's won twice already this year, but I'd probably fade him.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. Blocks, what are you liking here?
Yeah, it's pretty much what's. I mean, I'm a fan of his every week, pretty much. But he has been playing really well, and I think this course sets up really well for him, or these courses set up pretty well for him. So he is number one on my model. Like in this category would be Duffner. I really, really like the way he plays. I'm probably fading Zach Johnson because of ownership. I think he'll be super popular here. And much like Rob said, I'm fading Kazir just because of the win kind of hangover. So what do you got, Bubba?
Yeah, I'm going to go against you guys in this one. I'm going Zach Johnson. I'm not worried about the ownership here when it comes to like approach. And he showed he could score last week.
Yeah.
He's basically top 20 or better, five straight tournaments. He hasn't missed three straight cuts here. It's a bit concerning. But prior to that, he was 4-for-4 with two top 10s. That's the one thing about this tournament that scares me is just playing three different courses for 3 days. You never know what you're going to get each day.
Yeah, exactly.
But it just kind of throws it out the window to me. But I like Zach Johnson. He finished the year just on fire, and I'll keep riding that horse as long as I can. I don't mind Simpson or Duffner, but that price tag for Duff is crazy. But still, he can perform. But Zach Johnson for me in the 9,000 is about all I'm going with there.
We take this brief break in the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast to talk to you about RotoWear, one of the greatest shirts in fantasy sports. They have DFS shirts, fantasy season long, all kinds of great shirts. They're the best quality shirts in the industry. No other brand can compete with RotoWear in terms of quality, premium blend fabric, super soft, comfortable, athletic fit shirts, specialized printing process, design is part of the shirt, literally dyed, bleached into the fabric, no thick ink. It's ridiculous the amount of options you can find, over 30 different designs, fantasy football, baseball, hockey, basketball, DFS. They keep coming out with more and more and more stuff, men's, women's, kids, you name it, they've got it. There's lots of buzz kicking up in the fantasy industry about it. People are wearing these shirts. They're representing the shirts. They are great quality shirts. And you can have one too. You can have more than one, as many as you want. Just use the promo code DEGENS, 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 for 20% off your order. Go to rotowear.com or go to @rotowear on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Check out what they have. They're giving away free shirts all the time on Twitter. But when you go to purchase, use the code DEGENS, DEGENS. For 20% off your order. Now back to the Always Pressing PGA TFS podcast.
So the 8,000s, we have 11 players to choose from. Brennan Steele, my man, Reavy, Cook, Haas, Knox, Colley, Hahn, Uline, Kirk, Chucky Three Sticks, and Bubba Watson without the colored balls, I believe, which is a beautiful thing. Real quick, in the 8,000s, I'll go Brennan Steele again. I know he only got 29th when we took him 2 weeks ago, but he does play really well at this course. T6 last year, T2 3 years ago, and he's playing really good golf overall in the fall and winter swing. Ches Reavie, one of the hotter guys in golf, right? He's a top 20 machine. Finished T12 here last year, T17 the year before. At $8,800 bucks, like, especially for your cash game plays, I love Reavie, but I love him for GPPs as well. So I'll be one of my core guys will be Ches Reavie. After that, Bud Cauley at $8,400 bucks. I like him quite a bit. T3 here last year. Playing really good golf, finished the year strong, good approach game, and scoring wise, I like Bud at 8,400. And last but not least, it's a West Coast event, so I cannot ignore Charles Howell III, especially at $8,000. Like, that's a nice, to me, discounted price here. He's top 10 here in three of the last 5 years, or top 12, I should say, three of the last 5 years. And we stumped really well last year, had this one bad round, otherwise, he would have been a top 20. So at $8,000, you're going to get some really good value, I think, out of Chucky Three Sticks. He should be popular. But on the West Coast, as we mentioned last week, and we'll mention by every week that he's out here, he just does great at these courses, and you can't ignore that when we talk about recent foreign course history and that kind of stuff. So those are the guys I'm looking at: Steele, Reavie, Budd, and Chucky Three Sticks. Bucks, what are you looking at?
I like a lot of the same guys. I do like Charles Howe. I like Steele. I like Reavie. The one guy I really like down here is Bill Haas. I think he is turned around, basically. And he leads some of the stat categories that I really like, his courses. So Bill Haas, another guy that, Bubba, you're typically on is James Hahn.
Yeah, I was on last week, too, which is depressing.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And so it was nice to see him kind of make a run late. The one guy that I'm not going to roster, but I'm going to be watching and watching pretty intently is Peter Uihlein. Because I do think at some point in time he's going to break out and be like one of those perennial a top 25, top 10 guy. But until he makes it happen, I'm weak. So, but I do like Chucky Three Sticks and Reavie and Bill Haas.
What about you, Rob?
Yeah, I'm probably in the same boat with a lot of those guys. The only other one I would probably talk in there is Russell Knox, who's got two top tens in his last three events, especially last week. I had too much Uihlein last week, kind of cost me. He had a very discounted price, I thought, and he just hasn't played that well outside of like the Web.com Tour events in America, which is kind of surprising. But hopefully, like you're saying, he breaks out. He'd be a good addition to the Ryder Cup team. And you know, Chris Kirk is a guy that showed up last week, and he kind of always seems to show up in Bermuda greens. He would be kind of an interesting name at 8,100. That's a far cry from where he was again last week. But if you're going between Kirk and CH3 there at 8,100 versus 8,000, obviously I think you're going to go CH3 there. So, my favorite out of this group would be Reavie though. I think he's playing too well at this point. Like you said, he's definitely going to make my article in the cash games for sure. At 8,800, he's just playing too well at this point, and he's got some good results here. So it's not overthink it and just kind of put him in a lineup.
He's as consistent as it comes these days. It's pretty
crazy.
Plug and play.
Chez Reavie.
Hey, that's my boy. Don't talk bad about Chez. All right, let's go to the $7,000 range. 65 golfers. Just blessing us here. Bucks, kick us off in the 7K range.
Yeah, I mean, good Lord. So I narrowed it down to... Let's see, 20? Seven, eight guys in this range, eight. And so I'll just name them real quick. He's going to be super chalk this week, but $7,700 for a guy that has that game is cheap. And so I love the way that he typically plays. I think it suits this course. He's really good typically coming into the greens on his approach. So he's a guy that I'll be looking at. Again, ownership, but for the most part, as long as I'm confident that he will make a cut or anybody will make a cut, I'm not going to be too worried about ownership. Brent Snedeker is another guy that I'll be keeping an eye on. I like him. Kevin Na, Stuart Sink, we were all over him last week, and so was a lot of people. I mean, $6,800 and paid off greatly. Robert Garrigus, I really, really like as a guy that can go super low in an event where you kind of have to. Palmer's in that same boat for me. And he started getting streaky with the putter last week. So if that heats up, I really like him. The one guy that I really, really like in this category, though, that I think will be lower owned is Lucas Glover.
Yes.
He is a ball striker. He is solid off the tee. And if he can fairly large percentage of the greens thing to chip, then he will perform well this week. So I really like Glover. He's probably one of the top guys like Webb or Rahm. He's probably my number one play this week.
Love it. Love it. Rob, what are you looking at in the 7K range?
Very nice. I like that Glover call. It's a good call. He's made the last good. Three cuts there. Definitely on Brandt, I think, at his price range and for his talent and the fact that how well he could putt on Bermudas, that's a misprice in my opinion. Might be an injury type of thing, but he needs a win to get in the Masters, and that's pretty much all the reason he's playing for it. David Lingmerth, who is a guy who kind of shows up in course history a lot. He lost in the playoff to Duffner. He's actually lost twice in playoffs here. He would be another guy I would look at. Marty Laird as well. He's made his last five cuts here. Really guys that kind of look – I'm looking at guys that show up at the Waste Management, to be honest. I don't know why that course kind of fits the same build, but it really does. The one name that I would be kind of interested to get your opinion on is Wesley Bryan, who's getting rid of his driver. He's not playing driver anymore. In my model, he's number two in putting on Bermuda, and he's always a guy who can have accuracy and good approach game as long as he keep it in the fairway. And if he's getting rid of a driver, maybe he's going to hit off the deck with putters. I don't know his whole career, but 7,200, I think he's going to be worth kind of a play in some GPPs.
I like that, getting rid of the driver, because that's always been his problem. If he's in the fairway, he can score. He's proven it 2 weeks in a row now. Oh, last year, I think it's outstanding. No driver.
He's going anti-Phil there. Instead of two drivers, he's going no driver.
He's going Stenson.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. All right, the 7K for myself, the Lingmerth call I do like a lot, and same with Laird. They're both just course history guys, like you said. Lingmerth 5 for 5 on the cuts here. And Party Marty Laird has done very, very well himself. At $7,400, he's very stressful. We know that about Laird. But 9 to 10 cuts here and gets that done. But Swafford, 78, is not bad. I love Glover. Bucks, you nailed it. I think he's a great, great play at 75. I think if he would have been playing more regularly without taking some time off, he'd probably be in the mid-8s this week. We're getting kind of a deal at 7,500 with Lucas. We know he's a guy that could easily go on a tear if he gets his driver work and everything. So I like Glover at 75. A guy I like a lot, usually in this range, and I like him again this week, is Streelman at $7,500. Nothing flashy, but he's a consistent guy that's going to T20 you and get you through the cut most weeks. Ryan Armour, a young guy at $7,400, playing really, really well. So don't mind him at all. There's a handful of others. Jones at 71, I do like him. As a cheaper and basically kind of punt play close to the 6K range. He's 7 for 7 on the cuts here, and he's $7,100, so he does like playing these courses. So I like that a lot. And then I can't not mention my boy at $7,000, making his 2018 debut, Mr. Flores. Missed the cut here last year, but he's got a couple good finishes here, and he finished the year very, very well. I do like, as long as he keeps making cuts at 7K, I'll take it all day long. But I'd probably rather play Jones, actually, at 71. But, yeah, that's what I'm looking at, the $7,000 range.
I dig it.
$6,900 and below. Bucks, take us away. 71 golfers.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's actually a couple guys down here that I like. I will not be playing Lee Jansen or Corey Pavin.
What about Mike Weir?
I mean, I'm back to like mid-90s PC golf again.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
But there's a couple guys. I think Scott Brown is good value at 6,100. I think he's a guy that plays better than plus he's a guy that doesn't need to overpower this golf course as long as he keeps in a play. All right. Varner, I mentioned him. He's one of those GPP darts that if he gets hot, he gets hot. I mean, he could shoot 4 million, but again, when he gets going, he is really, really good, and he makes a ton of birdies. So as long as he can avoid a big number, driver off of every tee here, which he shouldn't have to as a flyer. Rory Sabatini, guy a lot. I mean, an awful lot. Value down here. He's actually 12th on my model. So as far as giving Rory 3 rounds, I dig it. Three guys I'll mention. Brett Stegmaier. I like where his game's at. He's coming around. Gooch played really well last week. I like where his game's at quite a bit. And then the last guy that I'll mention that I really, really like down here, and nothing to do with the recent form because he's been terrible. But I think with a couple events in him, Nick Watney, I really like him at $6,600. He, from an approach standpoint and a strokes gained overall standpoint, he was good. And if he can keep it in play here, and again, he shouldn't have to hit driver everywhere. So if he can keep it in play here, I really like him at this event just because it's such a focus on coming into the greens and positioning, which he has historically been good at. So $6,600 for an upside guy, I'll take it.
Yeah, he's a California kid, so not a bad look there. Rob, we like him in the 6Ks.
Yeah, I like a bunch of those guys for sure. I would add on to Sabatini. Sam Saunders at 6,600 also, kind of a big GPP punt. And then Ben Martin at 6,900. He had a – what did he have? I think he had like a seventh-place finish. Yeah, he finished seventh last week at the Sony. He actually gained 9 strokes total, and 6 of that was approach. So he's a guy who could putt on Bermuda, and he's improved – in putting over his last 20 over 2 strokes, which is something that he wasn't that good at. He was another guy I was kind of rolling with for a while last year. He got hot after the Heritage and kind of made cut after cut and actually played well the Quicken Loans. But, yeah, there's a ton of guys down here, and you pretty much just want to avoid all of them if you can. But it's tough. It's tough, especially with 3 rounds, because you really need to kind of find a star and some scrubs that can make you a cut and get there and make points on Sunday. So,
yeah, the range is not appetizing at all. But you guys have some of them. Corey Connors at 6,900, I don't mind. A guy at Bucks, or not Bucks, Jesse named last week, Adam Shank.
Yeah.
Finished a T39 last week. He's $6,900, and the more I looked into him, he's been finishing pretty well overall, so I don't mind him at all. A guy like Nick Taylor at 68. Brennan Gay at 68. Ryan Gaming, he's actually won here before. Not horrible. Seamus Powers at 67. Silverman, he let me down by missing the cut by a stroke. Still been playing really, really good golf with like a $6,700. So don't mind that. You guys mentioned a bunch of other good ones. It's just, like you said, Rob, you don't want to be down here unless you have to. Because it's really not that. Like a lot of first-timers down here that have come in playing well, but you can see how some of these courses treat them. Let's get into some of our punt plays. Bucks, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, I would go with Nick Watney or Stegmaier. I like both of them down low.
What about you, Rob?
Sean O'Hare, 7,300. He's got really, really good course history and has actually played fairly decent lately. He's not great in terms of Bermuda, I think. But he had a 9th last year and a 28th the year before, so he knows how to play this course. And the other guy had Grayson Murray at 7,500. I mean, he's probably well-priced there, but he's definitely not going to be well-owned just because of the fact that people don't like him. And, you know, I don't think he's played yet this year, so.
Yeah.
Yep. My punt's Connors and then Shank. I like Shank at $1,600. Definitely a nice price there. Your top bust of the week, Bucks.
Bust of the week, I'm gonna go with Harmon.
Fair enough. What about you, Rob?
I'm going P. Reed.
Yeah, I never get Patrick Reed right ever.
I don't either.
Yeah. my bust of the week is Phil Mickelson. $10,000.
Okay.
Give me 2 or 3 guys that will be in your core Bucks.
For me, I'm going to have a few lineups. And my top guys are either going to be Simpson or Rahm. So those two will be my core up top. And then the kind of mid-range, Lucas Glover is definitely going to be my core down, probably Sink. And I'll have a bunch of Ryan Palmer as well.
What about you, Rahm?
Yeah, so I spread it out. I would say Webb in the 9,000s, Chez in the 8,000s, and Brandt in the 7,000s. I think those 3 guys are pretty high caliber. Yeah, I would say.
It's a good
I hope so.
Yeah, initially it looks great.
Yeah, exactly.
How many times have you set up playing golf? My corner is going to be Reavy, Buck Golly, and Lucas Glover. Those three guys will be building around. Leave you some flexibility to go high or low, whatever you need to do there. Who is your pick to win Bucks?
I would say either Simpson or Lucas Glover, one of those two.
You got Simpson at 20-1, and you got Glover at 80-1. You got winning this one, Rob.
I am all aboard Webb Simpson this week. I don't know why. I hate this guy, but this just—he's just playing too well, and the field's just not that good. I think Rahm. I know you guys are saying he's by far the best talent in this field, but I think he's kind of gearing up towards next week, where he's going to have prime time with Tiger on Thursday and Friday. So I think it's more of a kind of a filling, get myself sharp. And honestly, the courses don't fit him that well. He's not going to be able to overpower it. So he's good enough to win it for sure. But if you're going to have to give me some odds or lay some juice, I'm going to take Webb at 18 or whatever you said, 21-1.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a 40-1 on Ches Reavy. I think he busts through this week. And then real quick, Rob, you mentioned this to me earlier. The Euro Tour tournaments on DraftKings suck, but they are in Abu Dhabi, and they are loaded. Justin Rose, Dustin Johnson, Stenson, McIlroy, Paul Casey, rest in peace, Jesse, Matt Kuchar, you got Hatton, Fleetwood, RCB, Fitzpatrick, Grace. List goes on and on. It's loaded for a Euro event. Do you guys have any takes on this stuff, Rob?
Yeah. I mean, it is a extremely loaded field. I guess that kind of comes with probably the appearance fees that some of these guys are probably getting. But, Dustin is by far the class, I think, of this field. I think he's like 5-1.
He's 5-1. 5-1 with that field.
With that field, which is that's almost a major caliber. It's pretty nuts. And Rory's like 7-1, but, you know, who knows what he's going to do out of the boat. But their coverage is going to be a little bit better, hopefully, than the Golf Channel. So you'll probably get some good primetime action, especially late at night, because that'll start late Wednesday night, which is great. But even when you start to go outside of that, you know, Arvi Bonrath had a good end of the season. He pushed Rose in a couple tournaments. Thomas Peters, we didn't even mention, is all the way down there, like 8,500. His name is popping. He's like 40-1 this week, too, yep. I guess, in that size field. And then you throw in, like, Matt Fitzpatrick, Ross Fisher, you know, the talent of England, whatever. And then, you know, the perfect genius in DeChambeau decided to go to Abu Dhabi instead of play in the Los in California. So you'll get to see him. Yeah, he's like 7,300. So he's probably going to be in some lineups just for the fact that people know who he is. But
yeah, sure.
I'm kind of excited for the fact that knowing this tournament is this week, the Qatar tournament, which is the one that Tiger played in last year and screwed up his back, is next week. Or the week after, so he can't play in that, so he's not going to fly across the world and be an idiot and try to with his back. Yeah, so he won't be able to screw up his back unless he's, you know, doing something out of the rough at Torrey, which isn't good anyways.
Yeah. You got any thoughts on this one, Bucks?
Yeah, I think it's freaking awesome, man. I mean, it's like almost like a mini major with the talent level at the course. And Golf Channel has just hours of coverage a day live for this event. So can't wait to really go golf and have terrible DraftKings tournaments.
From what I've seen, like interactions with people clamoring for more events from this, it doesn't seem like they're going to push the needle at all in terms of Euro. They're just going to keep relying on the PGA.
Yeah, but you look at an event like this, and I don't – yes, it's a Euro event, but there's so many guys like DJ that go over there that this could be like a prime time DK event, especially with the covers that the Golf Channel has for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not like they signed up like 2 days ago to go play in this.
Yeah, this should be like the first big – event on DraftKings of the year. It should.
You can make a pretty solid event on this to make it work. Nine of the top 20 here. I counted almost 18 or 19 of the top 59 are here. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, who doesn't want to DJ and Rory and DJ and everybody else that's there? Like, yeah, instead, exactly. We're talking about Lucas Glover winning.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Who would you rather play at $9,000, Chesson Hadley or Matt Kuchar? Yeah. I mean, that's the tournament you're looking at right now.
Who's $9,000 at the Abu Dhabi?
Matt Kuchar.
That's Kuchar.
Hadley or this guy, whoever Rob says.
It's Kuchar. You got Keimer and Kuchar at 9,100 and 9,000 versus Chesson Hadley at 9.
Yeah, Chesson Light.
good stuff. Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. They actually had good coverage of that Eurasia tournament, so they brought it. Fun to watch that. So enjoy that if you can't watch the U.S. golf. But before we get out of here, we have a listener question from our buddy Matthew. Many may know him on Twitter at MMJ6969. What is more important, course history or form of the player?
I'll take this one first. First, thank you, Matthew, for helping hook up the Snell podcast. Mm-hmm. Two, for me, recent form is more important. Course history, but if a guy is playing like garbage, I don't care how he played the course 3 years ago or 2 years ago. So recent form is definitely more important for me.
Yeah, I would say if I'm looking to build a team for a guy or a couple guys I think that are going to win, I'm going to rely more on form. If I'm looking to find a guy that would be a good punt or be a cut getter, I'm going to go look for a course history guy, or I'm going to lean on it a little bit more, but I'm not going to put all my stock into it at that point.
Yeah,
I'd say use more course history on those like $6,000, $7,000 guys. Just like you said, I want to get them through the cut. But like we talked about last year, a lot of bucks with John Rahm, he never played any of these courses, and we never cared because he was scorched earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, good stuff, gentlemen. Good stuff. The career builder in the chamber. We got Tiger Woods back next week, so much to enjoy there. Rob, thanks for joining us. We'll get you back on more often this season. Check out Rob on Twitter at All Day Every 365. Bucks on Twitter at BPSnow11. I am at BPEntric. The podcast is at Always Press DFS. Any final words, gentlemen?
Nope.
Make it happen this week.
Yeah, check out your Fantasy National stuff. Go check out Fanshare Sports for their coverage of everything. There's a lot of good stuff out there. So enjoy it all, and we will be back next week. Catch you later.